Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Will Whedon is author of our Book of the Month for September, Celebrating the Saints. This devotional resource introduces you to a collection of feasts and festivals, as well as saints in the Bible and throughout church history. Celebrating the Saints is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Celebrating the Saints, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Most Christians in America today expect their preacher to at least make reference to the Bible. Maybe an offhanded reference, maybe just a very brief flash of a single verse taken out of context, or a few words from a verse taken out of a context flashed up on the big screen while the preacher is saying whatever it is he wants to say. It is kind of quaint nowadays to actually watch a preacher, if you get a chance to, open the Bible, read a text, and attempt to tell you what that text means, especially in terms of law and gospel. One of the leading lights of American evangelicalism, Andy Stanley, has recently preached a sermon series on who needs God, and his answers might amaze you. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about Andy Stanley and his Who Needs God sermon series. Pastor Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. And Chris, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back, Todd.
Is what we're going to hear from Andy Stanley an outlier in American evangelicalism, or is it part of a bigger trend in terms of the attitude, changing attitude toward Scripture?
What we see, what we're going to be hearing also in Andy Stanley is a trend that really began back when postmodernism was being embraced for the first time in evangelicalism and kind of took on the form of the project that became known as the Emergent Church Movement. Andy Stanley actually was one of the guys who was recruited very early on in the Emergent Church Movement by Doug Padgett, and who was a well-known figure in that movement. And when that movement imploded, Stanley's involvement in it was never quite very visible publicly, but I would say that his postmodern approach to Scripture was new at the time, but is growing in leaps and bounds among evangelicals. And it's kind of a new form of liberalism. If you remember back when we were growing up, Todd, we were dealing with modernist liberalism that denied the existence of miracles and things like that. But postmodern liberalism also attacks the authority and the scriptures and what they say, but doesn't do so in a way that has kind of an a priori assumption that miracles aren't possible. So this is kind of a new spin off of an old theme of attacking the authority of Scripture, but this is now from a postmodern approach rather than a modern.
But Stanley and his success, and he is a big deal, his success kind of demonstrates a general principle too, and that is that postmodernism for adoctrinal churches has proved a boon, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. He speaks the language of postmodern culture quite well, and as a result of it, is able to attract a large crowd. Now, we need to make a minor distinction here, and that is attracting a large crowd is not the same thing as growing Christ's church. Those are two different things, but in the evangelical world, they see those two things as being synonymous when they're not.
What are we going to be hearing here from Andy Stanley?
We're going to be hearing Andy Stanley talking about the need, if you would, to have a mature view of the Bible and of faith. And in this sermon series, he literally is not preaching to Christians. He's preaching to people who he believes are either walking away from Christianity or have walked away. And he's trying to basically give a reason why you should rethink walking away from Christianity. And we'll listen carefully to the metaphors and analogies that he gives.
Where did your view of the God that you have a hard time believing in originate? Or let me put it this way, where did your view of the God you quit believing in originate? Did your God ever grow up? Or did you just outgrow your God? Did you carry childhood God into adulthood and it just couldn't withstand the rigors of adulthood and you just said, well, that God must be the only God. It's the only God I was ever presented with. God must not exist. Did your grown-up questions undermine your childhood faith? Where do babies come from? It depends on who is asking. And when a 5-year-old asks, you answer it one way. When a 15-year-old asks, you answer it another way. When somebody in pre-med or in graduate school asks, you answer it another way. And you never lie. We accommodate, come on, you know this. We accommodate to a child's capacity. But at some point, mommy's tummy no longer gets the job done. And here's my concern, all right? Some of you, many of you perhaps, and this is the church's fault. I own this. I am not pointing a finger or waving my finger. Or, I own this. Some of you still have a mommy's tummy God. And you've outgrown that God. But it was the only God you knew. So you just decided, I don't believe. I'm moving on. Now, to be clear, today was not an argument for the existence of God. That is not my point. My point is simply this. I'm suggesting that if you walked away, you may have walked away unnecessarily from a God who never existed anyway. A somebody told me so God. And nobody needs that God.
First of all, I think we need to acknowledge two things, Chris, here. He very able communicator. He's one of the best I've ever heard, just in terms of his ability to get ideas across. But he has a bit of a point. I suspect he's going to botch it, but he does have a point that some people reject Christianity without even knowing what Christianity really is. They reject a caricature of Christianity.
This is true, and that was the point of that particular sermon in the series, is somebody told me so God, you know, and so there's different caricatures of God that are false. The problem is that as the sermon series develops, the premise is going to break down because he's going to be basically making the claim that the person who believes in the literal miracles that took place in the Old Testament, like the 6-day creation, the children of Israel in the wilderness, the walls of Jericho falling down, that the person who holds those beliefs that those miracles actually took place in the Old Testament is the person who is synonymous with the one who still believes that babies come from, well, mommy's tummy. And so that's the problem, is that on the one hand, he's put his finger on something that's true, and this is postmodernism oftentimes offers some very valid critiques, but the thing that they end up deconstructing in the process is historic biblical Orthodox Christianity. And the issue is that Jesus himself believed that the miracles that took place in the Old Testament, including the creation, the literal creation in 6 days, that all really happened. And so to lump people into this immature view of the Bible, if you're fair with the way Jesus viewed the Old Testament, then you have to accuse Jesus of actually having an immature view of the Old Testament and the miracles that took place. And that'll become more evident as we walk through the remaining sound bites.
So what he's done is he's diagnosed a problem, and his diagnosis, insofar as it goes, is valid, but his remedy to that problem is going to be to say, look, the mommy's tummy faith I'm talking about is basically biblical Christianity.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so he's come up with a kind of an interesting solution. And normally the solution is, as confessional Lutherans, one of the things, you know, we embrace is the apologetic task, to always be ready to give an answer for the reason and the hope that lies within you. And we would point to, the men who've specialized in apologetics, like Montgomery and Parton and others, and where, you know, we give solid answers as to why the interpretations in science and things like that are not, that is not the right way of interpreting this data, and therefore what Scripture reveals in this capacity is actually what the truth is. And so there's a great ground that we can point people to apologetically. But rather than go that route and actually give people answers to answer the critics and the skeptics and the new atheists and things like that, what Stanley has basically done is say, those scientists are right, they're irrefutable, we've got to come to grips with it. So if you're still hanging on to that immature view of Christianity and Jesus, it's time for you to grow up. And so he's going to offer a different set of reasons and a different way of approaching the Bible altogether.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest on this Friday, September the 2nd. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about a recent sermon series preached by megachurch pastor Andy Stanley, Who Needs God? Chris is pastor of Kunstfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Some more from Andy Stanley after this.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love the truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
At Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, we are mostly looked down upon by cool people. They're always telling us that we take ourselves too seriously. That, apparently, is the uncoolest thing on the planet. We are theological nerds. We get more incensed by bad exegesis than a group of comic book fans who find out the hero was just dreaming. Some people want us to calm down, but we aren't going to. Redeemer, Fort Wayne, haven for theological nerds.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Friday afternoon, September the 2nd. Chris Roseborough is our guest. This Week in Pop American Christianity, we are talking about a recent sermon series preached by megachurch pastor Andy Stanley, Who Needs God? What are we going to hear next from Andy Stanley, Chris?
Well, we're going to hear him explain how this idea that, you know, the Bible told me so is actually a problem and creates problems for Christianity.
Perhaps you were taught, as I was taught, Jesus loves me, this I know, and let's all finish it together for the... Yes, this is where our trouble began. And here's why this is where our trouble began. And this is a precious song, and we should teach our children this song. But do you remember last week I said part of the problem is you grew up, but your faith didn't grow up with you. You grew up, but you outgrew your faith. Your childhood God could not withstand the rigors of adulthood and the questions of adulthood. And part of it is because our understanding of the Bible and our approach to Jesus did not grow up. And we find there's an extraordinary conflict of information and conflict of facts when it comes to the childhood version of Jesus in the Bible and what we learn as adults. So Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is problematic for adults. And here's why. Because the implication is the Bible is the reason we believe. The Bible is the reason we believe. In other words, I can believe that Jesus loves me because it's in the Bible. Well, how do you know Jesus loves me? Well, it's in the Bible. How are you confident that Jesus loves you? How can you say that? Because it's in the Bible. The Bible says it. I grew up with this. The Bible says it that. Anybody? Fill in the blank. The Bible says it that. Settles it. That's right. The Bible says it that. Settles it. Now, when I say that, that's unsettling for some of you because that's your whole perspective on Christianity. The Bible says it, that settles it. So I want you to listen really, really careful, okay? Everybody listening? The problem with that is this. If the Bible is the foundation of our faith, as the Bible goes, so goes our faith. This is why you sent kids off to college or grandkids off to college and they came back with no faith. Because you sent them to college with the Bible says it, that settles it. And then a professor got up and says, well, there's problems with the Bible. And they begin to talk about things that aren't true or historically, you know, verifiable. And your smart son or daughter that you spent thousands and thousands of dollars to get them educated come home and suddenly they're smarter than you. And they already thought they were smarter than you, but now they have a professor saying, hey, you really are smarter than your Sunday school teacher and your parents. If the Bible is the foundation of our faith, here's the problem. It is all or nothing. Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards religion. Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards that comes tumbling down when we discover that perhaps the walls of Jericho didn't.
I wonder, Chris, if you just took every instance where he said the Bible, because it's really easy to want to avoid sounding like a fundamentalist or something, and just substituted God's word there, would it be clearer that Andy Stanley is actually arguing that we shouldn't believe God?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. The issue is that he then goes on to try to make a distinction between the eyewitness testimony and the Bible. And he's using the Bible in a very narrow sense. And he makes the claim historically that the Bible didn't first appear until the time of Constantine. And the problem is that the Bible is a collection of documents in one handy, you know, to use location, if you would. It's a collection of documents that are the inspired, infallible word of God. And to speak the way he's speaking is confusing at best. But this is, this is how postmodern deconstruction works. It works by tinkering with and blurring the definition of words so that you can make space for a different concept altogether. And the reality is this, is that the Bible is the foundation of our faith. In fact, it is the Word of God itself that creates the church. I would just point to Romans 10:17 that says, faith comes from hearing, hearing through the Word of Christ. In fact, Jesus himself is the Word of God made flesh. And, you know, that there's a lot of theological implications to what's going on here. And the Spirit himself doesn't work apart from his word. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are inextricably linked. So theologically, we've got problems here. But what he's trying to do is create this postmodern redefinition in such a way that you can somehow say, listen, the Bible isn't the foundation of my faith. Jesus is. And if Jesus is, then I don't have to worry if there's difficulties in the Bible that are contradicted by science. The Bible isn't the foundation of my faith. Jesus is. And that's really where he's heading with this.
It sounds like, it's beginning to sound like, not an apologetic, but an anti-apologetic.
Yep, that's exactly right. And I pointed this out on my program. As a pastor, every Sunday, the people who I preach to are Christians. Christians show up to receive and hear God's word and the sacraments. And the issue is, as you're listening to these sermons in this series, Andy Stanley isn't preaching to Christians. He's preaching to people who aren't even there. Because what atheist, what person who's walked away from the Christian faith is going to show up for a Jesus-ish, rock and roll, smoke and light show with a motivational speech, tagged on the end of it on a Sunday morning? Atheists don't do that. People who've walked away from the faith don't do that. So I think this is a very clever technique that he's doing under the guise of preaching to somebody who's walked away from the faith. What he's instead doing is deconstructing the Christian faith for the people who are Christians who are present to hear it.
Now, one of the things that he said there when he was talking about you've based your faith on the Bible, and that I take it is kind of like the childhood faith. It's good enough for kids, but once you grow up, you got these pesky things called facts. He is very strongly implying that what we find in the Bible is not factual, or at least not entirely factual.
He's more than implying it, and the things he keeps coming back to are archaeological evidence regarding the flood, the six-day creation, the walls of Jericho, and the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. Those are the things he keeps coming back to, as if somehow this is a settled thing. Science and archaeology have determined that all of this stuff is totally bogus, and those hanging on to the belief that somehow these things are true and happened, that's the equivalent of believing in Santa Claus or understanding that babies come from mommy's tummy. It's a very immature and kind of silly way of looking at things.
See, the reason you should consider following Jesus is not because the Bible says so. It is not about the Bible. It is all about a who. It is not about a what. It is not about a book. It is about a who. It has everything to do with who Jesus claimed to be and the fact that he punctuated his claims by dying on the cross and rising from the dead and predicting his own death and resurrection. And fortunately for us, the eyewitnesses of those events documented those events. But they did, this is important, they did not document what they believed. They documented what they saw. So, if you stepped away from Christianity because of something in the Bible, if you stepped away from the Christian faith because of Old Testament miracles, if you stepped away from the Christian faith because you couldn't reconcile 6,000 years with a 4.5 billion year old earth and something you heard in biology or learned in biology, I want to invite you to reconsider, because the issue has never been, is the Bible true? The issue has always been, who is Jesus? Christianity did not disrupt the Roman Empire because of a true Bible. Christianity disrupted the Roman Empire because of a resurrected Savior.
But Chris, isn't the message of that resurrection, those eyewitness accounts, in the Bible?
Yeah, I know. It is. It's funny that you'd say that. The only place you can actually find these accounts of the things that Jesus said, taught, and did are actually in the Bible. I mean, it's this weird definition that he's created in order to somehow basically create this space where you can now say, I'm a mature Christian. I don't believe the walls of Jericho really fell. I'm a mature Christian. I don't really believe in the six-day creation, but because I don't believe in a true Bible, but I believe that Jesus is true. Really, okay, well, where do you learn about Jesus? In the Bible. So it's this irrational view now that somehow the Bible is authoritative but not true because Jesus rose from the grave, and it's all about your experience with him not with the truthfulness of the Bible. Yet the eyewitnesses tell us that Jesus actually believed in the literal six-day creation, that he believed in the flood, the whole earth was flooded, and that Noah survived and only his family survived. He believed in all these miracles of the Old Testament and said that this is the Word of God and it cannot be broken. If you're going to have this experience with Jesus, you got to come to grips with the fact that Jesus actually held the immature view of the Old Testament that he's knocking, that says it's okay for you to leave that and still somehow embrace Christianity. What he's proposing via almost innuendo, you'll notice he doesn't make these assertions explicitly, but you have to kind of back your way into it because he's heavily implying it. The Christianity that he's implying is untenable because it doesn't fit with the facts of the eyewitnesses and those who actually hung out with Jesus.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. More on the other side of the break. We're talking about a recent sermon series preached by megachurch pastor Andy Stanley titled Who Needs God? Stay tuned. You're invited to a special service commemorating the 160th anniversary of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. It's a Vespers service beginning at 4 on Saturday afternoon, September the 10th. I have the honor of preaching for this anniversary celebration. Worship in one of the most beautiful sanctuaries in Greater St. Louis, Saturday, September the 10th at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel. If you want to stay for dinner, RSVP 618-633 2209.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service, every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Conservative versus radical, two extremes which offer us a window into considering the future of Lutheranism as well.
Dr. Larry Rast speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
For there is a place for the confessional witness Lutherans have to offer in the places in which we find ourselves today, but that witness will only be faithful if it conserves the insights of the Reformation. And that conservation, I believe, is needed today more than ever.
You can listen to Dr. Rath's presentation, Making the Case for the Conservative Reformation, and teachings by Chris Roseborough, Carl Fakencher, Adrian Dorr-Heinz, Brian Wolfmiller, and Jonathan Fisk on an audio DVD from the Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a sermon series preached by Andy Stanley called Who Needs God? This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. If you appreciate Reformation theology, check out the Master of Arts in Theology program at Concordia University, Irvine, California. Courses are taught on online sessions and intensive on-campus sessions during the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, the Reformation studies, they're just a few of the emphases offered there. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology, cui.edu/theology. Chris, if I'm going to take Andy Stanley seriously here for a moment, just for the sake of argument, and I'm going to follow his advice, how would he suggest I get in touch with this Bible-less Jesus?
Well, he would point you to the eyewitnesses and say that that their eyewitness testimony was written before we had a Bible, and they recorded what they saw, but it's not about whether or not it's true or not. So you just kind of have to go with the fact that this is what they experienced, and you too can experience this Jesus, and that's what he would call you to. But don't worry about truthfulness of facts and things like that. That's really not the point. It's all about the relationship, the experience with Jesus, and it's just abysmal what it is that he's proposing.
And I can lighten my Sunday morning backpack where I keep all my study resources by tearing out the Old Testament from my Bible, right?
Right. Yeah. No. See, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter, you know, if the Bible's true or not. The question is, are you having an experience, a relationship with this Jesus? And you don't need a true Bible in order to have that experience.
If he's consistent, Chris, should he kind of lay off quoting the Bible himself? Because that would seem to encourage a mommy's tummy faith, right?
And oddly that you would say that, if you have listened to his sermons, they are quite biblically light. And in fact, years ago, there was a book published called The Holy Spirit, Shy Member of the Trinity by Frederick Dale Bruner and William Horden. And in that book, Dale Bruner actually makes the point that topical preaching, and this book was published in the mid-80s, topical preaching, he says, basically exposes the fact that the preacher is an unbeliever. It's a form of unbelief. And these seeker-driven sermons, when you listen to them, all, verses out of context, all designed to make your life better and things like that, you know, and give you principles, but you never really get a historical narrative in context and what the scriptures say. This is a tacit form of unbelief, and I think that what we're hearing in Andy Stanley here is his unbelief seeping out, which is explains why his sermons are so thin biblically.
So let's just be altogether clear here by way of some summary. Andy Stanley is not just suggesting, but strongly urging his audience, both those who are listening to him at his megachurch, those who are watching him on television, and then those who he's allegedly preaching to, all these people who've rejected a childhood form of Christianity, to reject the notion of Scripture's veracity. I mean, this just sounds to me like a very poorly retreaded old line liberalism, but there must be some difference there. Is there?
Yeah, there is. Old line liberalism actually argued the same conclusion, but for a different reason. Their reason was that miracles can't happen. You know that we live in a modern age. You can't believe in miracles and that people rose from the dead and things like that. And so they demythologized the Bible and came to the conclusion that's why you need to get rid of this. He doesn't have a priori assumption that miracles can't happen. So instead, he says, well, Jesus rose from the grave, so you need to experience him apart from the Bible, because you don't need the Bible to experience Jesus and know that what he's saying is going to change your life. So same conclusion, different reason altogether. Postmodernism and modernism are actually kissing cousins. One is a modernist reason for not believing, kind of a rationalistic reason, whereas postmodernity is irrational and it's experience based. And so one cuts you off, from the Bible using only your head. The other does it just using only your heart and your feelings. Both come to the same conclusion and create a form of liberalism and a form of unbelief.
So, Chris, this kind of theology, we've seen it. You mentioned earlier the emergent church from which Andy Stanley emerged, no pun intended, moves really fast. I mean, it went from kind of, we just want to have a conversation, to denying basically all biblical truths in the course of less than a decade. How long before Andy Stanley isn't even hanging on to the truth of Christ's bodily resurrection?
I think Andy Stanley's on the same trajectory that we saw Rob Bell on. Where Rob Bell ended up actually kind of being flushed out of evangelicalism when it became clear that, he really didn't hold to any of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. I think Andy Stanley is in the same boat as Rob Bell and has the same philosophical worldview as Rob Bell. And it's really just it's probably over the next 3 to 4 years we'll see that play out, where, you know, I think there's a good chance he'll get washed out as he gets more vocal about his doubts and skepticism regarding what scriptures actually teach.
With only about 20 seconds here, someone says, boy, this guy sounds kind of like my pastor. He seems to be dabbling in some of this postmodernist versions of Christianity. What would you say to them about 20 seconds?
Yeah, postmodernism, if your pastor's dabbling in this stuff, he's not going to be teaching you the Christian faith. Christianity requires pastors to proclaim law and gospel, to proclaim Christ and Him crucified for your sins. And through that proclamation, the Holy Spirit actually creates and sustains faith. The person who's engaging in postmodernism is embracing doubt and is not teaching the faith. A steady diet of preaching that fosters doubt will actually undermine and overthrow and potentially shipwreck your faith. If your pastor's heading in that direction, you need to call him to repentance. And if he won't repent, you need to go and find a church where the pastor will proclaim the truth as a believer, not a doubter.
Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You will find a link to Fighting for the Faith under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Chris, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Chris will also be our guest Sunday night at 10 Central on Sirius XM Family Talk 131. We'll be discussing the worship liturgy of Pop American Christianity. Folks, you have 3 days left to order an audio DVD from this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It contains teachings by Will Wheaton, Larry Rast, Carl Fakencher, Adrian Dorheinz, Jonathan Fisk, Brian Wolfmiller, and Chris Roseborough. We will send you the conference audio DVD for a recommended contribution of $300 by Labor Day. You can order by check, make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Be sure to write audio DVD in the memo line of your check, Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also order by Labor Day online at issuesetc.org. The audio DVD contains more than 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing from the 2016 Making the Case Conference. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Pastor Paul McCain about the Lutheran Confessions, the Large Catechism, the Lord's Prayer, the last two petitions, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.